to meet the people who move and shake our society. Tonight we are fortunate to have Dr. Zachary Freiberg. It was like testifying in court, Zach thought. The interviewer began by asking his name, his profession, and a few friendly questions about what a planetary geochemist actually does. Then, the whole world has been in a stir over rumors that a greenhouse cliff is going to cause tremendous and sudden changes in our weather a few years from now. Yet the Global Economic Council has strongly denied that any such phenomenon exists. Are they lying to us? Or is the greenhouse cliff a mere figment of some environmentalist's overworked imagination? It's real, said Zach. The greenhouse cliff is as real as today's weather. The old man smiled. I've always thought the weather in Southern California is a bit unreal. Before Zach could respond, he asked, Tell me, just what on earth is a greenhouse cliff? Zach launched into an explanation, trying to keep it as simple as possible. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw on the monitor screen news clips of hurricanes striking cities, floods washing away villages, farmlands withering under a parching sun. Somebody in the studio had done her homework. And all this will happen quite suddenly, the interviewer prodded. That's why it's called a cliff, said Zach. In 10 years, give or take a couple, the world's climate is going to change suddenly and very radically. Before the next question could be asked, he added, Unless we do something about it. Something? What can we do? Stop adding to the greenhouse, Zach replied with some emotion. Stop burning fossil fuels. Stop polluting the seas where the algae live. Stop tearing down the rainforests. How can we stop burning fossil fuels? Our factories, our furnaces, our automobiles. The GEC will be initiating a program to convert the whole world away from fossil fuels and into nuclear and solar. They've made no announcement of this. They will. Nuclear and solar energy, eh? Nuclear cars? Electric cars, Zach snapped. But their electricity will be provided by safe, clean fusion power plants. Solar energy can make individual homes self-sufficient. On and on it went for what seemed like hours. Without realizing it, Zach became quite passionate talking about what had to be done. We have the technology to accomplish this, he insisted. We have the brains and the muscle. We can beat this disaster if we all work together, everyone, all around the world. That's a very tall order, said his interviewer. It's the greatest challenge the human race has ever confronted. Zach did not notice that the camera now was focused directly on his animated, earnest face. This isn't a war against another nation. It's not even a war against nature. It's a battle against ourselves, against laziness and greed and the thoughtlessness that's fouled our planet's air and water so terribly. It's a battle we've got to win, because if we don't, at least half the world's population will die, probably more. He was drenched with perspiration by the time the interview ended and the hot lights winked off. Wonderful, said the interviewer, reaching over to pat his back. You did a magnificent job. Surprised but pleased, Zach mumbled his thanks and headed home. The next morning, thinking it over after a good night's sleep, Zach concluded that on balance he had indeed done a good job. Until Vasily Malik phoned. I have just seen the videotape of the interview you conducted last night. Zach did not notice that the Russian was grim, unsmiling. How'd you like it? He asked eagerly. My dear Dr. Freiberg, you are a phenomenon on television. A true spellbinder. Just the man to show the public how urgent this problem is. Smiling boyishly, Zach started to say, Well, thanks. Which is exactly why you will not give any further interviews to anyone, under any circumstances. Is that clear?
What?
What are you talking about? With great patience, Malik said, We are working very hard to control news leaks, Dr. Freiberg. We must avoid premature disclosure of the greenhouse catastrophe. We must avoid public panic at all costs. Why do you think we have said nothing officially? Why do you think we have denied all the rumors of the greenhouse cliff? Now look, you can't muzzle me. I'm an American citizen. I've got a right to speak freely. Coldly, You are an employee of the GEC, Dr. Freiberg. If you do not promise to cooperate with me, you will be transferred to Antarctica, and your family with you. Do I make myself clear? Zack glared at the phone screen for several angry moments, thinking, the bastard knows I'm not allowed to quit my job for the duration of this emergency. He can push me any place he likes. Do you understand me, Dr. Freiberg? Malik insisted. Nodding glumly, I understand you. No more interviews. It is all for the best, Malik tried to assure him. Yeah, sure, Zack muttered, wishing that Dan Randolph were around to defend him. It took almost a month for Kate Williams to get her sister to Alphonsus. Gaetano had been immediately suspicious, of course, when the clinic that was guiding Kimberly through drug rehabilitation reported to him that she had decided to leave San Francisco. He had phoned Kate and told her that he would not permit Kim to join her on the moon. Kate had expected this showdown. She was prepared for it. Still, she was glad that Gaetano was a 250,000 miles away and that they saw each other only on the telephone picture screens. If they had met in person, he would have easily seen her tension, her trembling, her fear. Rafe, she said, sitting in Dan Randolph's former chair, holding herself together with conscious effort. I want Kimberly here with me. I've done a lot of dirty work for you, and bringing Kim here is my reward. He raised an eyebrow. Your work for me is not finished. Then he added, smirking, especially the dirty part. Kate tried to keep her face from showing any emotion. I've delivered Astro to you. Now you want me to find Dan Randolph. Okay, I'll do that. If I have Kimberly here with me. She waited until he heard her words and began to shake his head. Then she said, there's something else I want, too. Once I've located Dan for you, I want to continue running Astro Manufacturing. That shook him. Both brows went toward his scalp. You? Run the whole corporation. That's what I want in return for finding Dan. That's impossible. They argued back and forth for nearly 2 weeks. But in the end, Gaetano agreed to let her run Astro if she located Dan Randolph, dead or alive, and if she promised that she would continue to share his bed whenever she came to Earth. Kate readily consented to his terms, knowing that Gaetano would have to come to the moon. She had no intention of leaving. Not ever. Not once she had Kim safely by her side. It took another 2 weeks for all the arrangements to be made so that Kim could leave California legally and have her medical records transferred to the hospital at Alphonsus. Kate spent the time actually running Astro, implementing the orders that were coming from GEC headquarters to develop a plan for doubling the production of fusion fuel and expanding the manufacturing capacity for solar panels. She spent her nights, though, tediously creating a computer program designed to spot discrepancies in Astro's logistics system and Yamagata's. The renegades who were living off Astro and Yamagata kept a low profile, pilfering such small amounts of goods that the company accountants were willing to write the losses off. They're down in the noise, the chief accountant told her. It'd cost more to root them out than they're stealing from us, so why bother about it? Kate smiled at him and nodded, and wondered if he was on the take. Maybe the renegades paid him off. But with what? They didn't steal enough to make a dent in the man's salary and bonuses. She dismissed the idea. Instead, she slaved each night to perfect the computer program that would automatically highlight any discrepancy between what went into the logistics system and what came out, down to a single bottle of aspirin or a cubic meter of oxygen. Dan Randolph is among those renegades, she knew. He's one of the people stealing from his own company. And he won't be content with small-time pilfering. His ego will drive him to do bigger and better things. I want to track everything that's being stolen. Sooner or later, I'll find a pattern. Sooner or later, Dan will try to grab something big enough that he'll leave his signature on the theft. Then I'll get him. And it better be sooner rather than later, she told herself. Rafe is not a patient man, neither in bed nor out of it. Raffaello Gaetano had other things to worry about. He thought of Kate often enough, and he did not like the idea of relinquishing.